Welcome to Pyconomy. Here we cover everything from finance, economy, and how it affects you. Please welcome your host, Kyle Talks.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you so much, Kyle. Give it a hands up for Kyle. What a great introduction. Thank you guys for choosing Pyconomy today. Thank you for tuning in. Thanks for downloading. Thanks for clicking the link. By clicking this link and joining the show, today you have told yourself you want to be more educated. You want to educate yourself about the finance, the economy, and everything in between. And you want to take charge of your own finances. Do you realize you did that by clicking on this show? Well, if you didn't, you did. If this is your first time here, welcome. Thank you for choosing. This is Pyconomy, a sideshow where I talk about the finance, economy, and everything in between and how it affects you. Me and you, regular day people, living our lives. The goal of this show is to educate both of us, me and you, about what's going on around the world economically and how we can either play offense or defense. And literally just knowing is half the battle. So if you don't know nothing about finance at all besides how to spend money at Starbucks, I'm telling you, me too. And also, you're at the right place because we teach things great over down here in the Kyle Talks Pyconomy studio. I do have a main podcast called, wait for it, Kyle Talks, come every weekday, and it's where we talk about society, business, culture. I have some fantastic people with some amazing stories come on the podcast and talk about their journeys to what they're creating, what they're doing. So if that's interest to you at all, a community of people who just want to be better and just have someone to talk to, please go ahead and tune in weekly to Kyle Talks. You'll love it there. We're all very nice. We all spread love. You'll feel loved and accepted there no matter what. So if that's not interesting, go ahead and tune in there. Guys, also before we start, I want to apologize. Last night, I slept with the window open, and I didn't know it was open. So I woke up with cotton mouth. My voice is kind of clapped, as you can tell. I kind of am on my Batman vibes, but that's neither here nor there. The show must continue. So how we do Pyconomy is I have three topics. The first two are usually hard-hitting about the U.S. economy, and the last one I try to keep in more of a fun-ish style. That way you kind of know everything what's going on. This week I got three hard-hitters for you. I haven't seen you guys a while on Pyconomy. It's been a while, so we got a lot, and I mean a lot to talk about, a lot to cover. If this is your first time listening, I want to ask, or if you've listened 1,000 times, like I know some of you out there do, please go ahead and review the podcast. Please go ahead and share the episode on Twitter, Instagram, and tag at Kyle the Horton. I will love you for six ever. We can have a conversation there. And if you have any finance or economy questions, I do host a segment on the main called Boss Before Opening Show, where I take questions from my lovely audience, you guys, and then I talk about it. It can be about literally society, business, culture, investing, economics, finance. Should you brush your teeth today? What sandwich should you get later? Literally anything, because that's what a community does, right? We talk to each other. So if you have any questions specifically concerning stuff about this, go ahead and DM me on Instagram or Twitter at Kyle the Horton, links down below. Or if you would like to submit a question, do that at kyletalkspodcast@gmail.com and just put boss in the question mark. Now, we have a lot of content to go over today. We got some heavy hitters. Let's jump into our first article of the day, folks. Inflation rates just made inflation. Let's redo that. Interest rates just made inflation a whole lot scarier. Yeah, you heard me right. Interest rates just made interest inflation. I'm having a hard time saying those two. Interest rates just made inflation a lot scarier today. Also, I forgot to mention before we jump in, I provide every article that I read down in the show notes below. That's where I take notes from. That's where I get this information from. Please do your own research. Take my word as a grain of salt. Go to those articles and links in the description. Read it for yourself. Come to your own conclusion. Always read stuff for yourself and don't just throw up what everyone else told you. Always look for yourself, come to your own conclusion. It's more authentic, and you can provide more to the conversation that way. I'm not saying don't listen to me completely or other people who are educated in this. Also, just saying, make sure you do your stuff too. Jumping into it. So yeah, as you guys know, inflation's hard. You guys who are in America, I don't need to explain it to you anymore. You know inflation over here. We've been down bad, down in SoCal, LA area. They got to a point where we're paying like $7-$8 for a gallon of gas. So We are not that high, but inflation is still running rampant at around 6.5%. And the Federal Reserve, which for the uninitiated is the money managers of America, they just make sure, the Federal Reserve just makes sure America's good on cash and their people. Their target inflation is 2%. So that's where they want it. Right now it's at 6.5%, and that's like 100, 200. Like, that's like 100% plus of where they want it. So we're doing great things over here. Let's jump into the article. Link is in the description. Let's get into it today. Fed hikes rates by a quarter percentage point, indicates increases are near an end. So I'm going to break it down for some of those who don't know, or maybe this is your first time listening to Ficonomy. So when inflation gets high, I'm going to give you the very dumbed down version. But if you go back to interest rates are rising again video, I do explain in depth how money and interest and inflation works in America. But I'll give you the very quick guide here. America is not, money isn't created when you print, when they print it, when the government prints it. Are you ready? Money is created when you take out a loan for money you don't have. So, for example, let's say you want a $500,000 Lamborghini, which is super cheap, but let's say you wanted that, right? And you go to the bank, hey, bank, I don't got 500 G's on me, but I'll tell you what, I'll go into debt, I'll pay it off slowly since I don't have that money, and I'll just pay it to you. The bank says, no problem, of course we'll do that for you. Boom, once you sign that contract, you are helping the American system because you just put 500 grand, which did not exist in the system. You just pushed it right there. So you created money. Americans, we should be thanking you. That's how it works. Money is created when you take out a loan because you did not have that money. The bank doesn't have that money in that specific circumstance. They do have the money, but you didn't have that money. So you made that money appear out of thin air because you took out a loan saying, I'm going to pay 500K. Now, that's the skinny of it. So now that we know the bank, that you know the American financial monetary system is built on debt and loans, what comes with debts and loans? I'll give you a little second. Think about it. You got it. It's not your question. What naturally comes with debts and loans? There it is. Interest rates. So to control the spend of money, the money managers of America, the Fed, what they will do is, since we know people spend on credit, and that's how we do, if we increase interest rates, it'll make people not want to spend as much money because it'll cost more. Or if we decrease interest rates, money becomes cheaper, so people want to spend more. That is the short skinny of it. I do have a video going deeper into it. Please listen to that. So here we go. So in order to combat inflation, the Fed has increased interest rates by a quarter point. That indicates like seven hikes. We've been hiking by a quarter point percentage, 0.50. So 0.25%, 0.50%. That's how they increase interest rates. They've been doing that for like 8 months straight, if my memory serves me correctly. I may be wrong. Please double check me on that. I didn't put that in my notes. So this is, how does that affect you? That affects your credit cards. That affects your school loans. That affects your car loans. That affects any loans that you've taken out from like a third party. If we're talking like a pawn shop or anything like that, that gas increase, prices for everything goes up. Because why? Businesses buy on credit. Businesses do not pay cash. It's actually dumb to pay cash because you can save money in the long term if you buy certain things on credit. I graduated with a degree in business administration and finance and all that stuff. So there's some things in business. If you're accounting major, you know this. I forgot what it's called, but they'll give you a deal. They'll say like, hey, it's 5% interest for 30 days. And if you paid within 30 days, you don't owe us any interest. So since the American monetary system is built on debt, you're actually incentivized to pay things through debt. And if you pay it back within time, you wouldn't have to pay interest rates. So it's actually smarter for some companies to buy things on credit because they don't have to fork out that hefty loan of cash all at once. They can pay it over time. So I know we're really getting into the deeps of this one, but I just want to kind of give you an understanding of this is how it works. So you can, if this is your first time hearing it, it's going to take a while. You know, not everyone gets everything on the first time. I know I don't. So just stick with it. We'll get you there. I promise. So yeah, Fed increased interest rates and we're built at least in America, we're built on the system that celebrates debt and loans, and that's actually how we make money. So let's dive deeper into the article. The Federal Reserve on Wednesday enacted a quarter percentage point increase rate, expressing caution about the recent banking crisis, we'll talk about that, and indicating the hikes are nearing an end. I doubt that, but we'll see. Along with its ninth hike since March 2022, so I wasn't off. I said eight in a row, it's actually nine. The rate setting Federal Open Market Committee, FOMC, noted that the future increases are not assured and will depend largely on incoming data. What is that line right there? Because that was a lot. The FOMC are people who are working in conjunction with the Fed, the money managers, and they said, hey, we might increase interest rates in the future, we might not. Depends on the data we get back in the next 3 to 6 months. That's essentially what that means, if we're going to increase it again. The committee will closely monitor incoming information and assess the implications for monetary policy. The FOMC's post-meeting statement said this: the committee anticipates that some additional policy firming may be appropriate in order to attain a stance of monetary policy that is sufficiently restrictive to return inflation to 2% over time. Holy shite, Kyle. What did you just tell me, bro? I promise you, you're speaking different language. Gee, I get you. I get that. What does this statement say right here? I'll say it in layman's terms. Bro, we're kind of down bad right now. Our policies are kind of getting clapped. Not sure what we're doing. But if this thing keeps on getting for real, we're going to have to bust down and really make it hard to buy stuff, on God. That's essentially what that said. Okay, let me know if that was funny. I actually got it. That was funny. Facetious being aside, they're saying, hey, our policies are terrible right now. Inflation's crazy high, and we've increased interest rates 9 times in a row. And inflation's still high. We honestly don't know what we're doing. That's essentially what it's saying, right? Which is kind of worrying. The wording is a departure from previous statements, which indicated ongoing increases would be appropriate to bring down inflation. So the Fed, the money managers of America, said, yeah, we're going to have to do ongoing interest rates to decrease inflation. Now all of it switched to, well, maybe, we don't know, we have to see data. So they're getting really pressed. The money manager of America's are getting pressed. Of course, Americans are mad. Inflation's high. But also, they're facing political pressures from both the White House, which includes both Republicans and Democrats. So they are facing also a lot of political pressure as well, which doesn't make the job easy. It's easy to sit here and say these people are dumb, they don't know what they're doing. But honestly, it's a hard job. While they try to get people's money right, people automatically hate them, blame them for everything, even though that's not feasible. And they're also getting heavy political pressure from both sides. Yes, they signed up for the job. Yes, some things they're doing aren't the greatest, but could you do it better? It's stressful. I'm not saying that to suckle on the teat of American government or our subsidiaries. I'm just saying I also can realize that this is a hard job and there's lots of pressure. Finishing the article, while comments Fed Chair Jerome Powell. So Jerome Powell is the president of the money managers. He's the big guy. He's the main guy. So while the comments Fed Chair Jerome Powell made during a news conference were taking to mean that the central bank may be nearing the end of its rate hiking cycle, he qualified that the inflation fight isn't over. So that's all I'm saying. Please go read it for yourself. There's a lot more to it. Please read it for yourself. What does that mean? Inflation is still bad. Interest rates are getting hiked. They stated that they don't know if they're going to have to increase interest rates any more than they already have. Guys, be careful with your money. Here, I'm very practical. I love practicalness. Not a lot of people give you practical tips. I will always try to. What can we take away from this article? Try to spend cash if you can. If you can't afford it, spend cash, because your credit card bills, your car loans, my student loan bills, they're going to be going up and it's going to be bad. So how do you at least try to protect yourself from rising interest rates? Pay cash as much as you can. And if you can't, when you pay with credit, try to pay it off within 7 days or within a month so you don't have to worry about interest fees. That's my very practical advice for you. Let's jump into this second article that if interest rates are bad, is that what's causing all these banks to fail? And does it really affect me? Banks failing. I know you've heard of it. I know you've seen them. Let's talk about that. Why? What does a bank fail? Now, let me explain it to you. You guys know that I work with a startup. A lot of startups are banking with SVB. A lot of companies, including the one I'm with, we face troubles with this. We had troubles. A lot of startups use SVB as a banking. So how does a bank fail? So when you deposit money into a bank, it's called, wait for it, a deposit. And they have to hold that money. So what does a bank do? They take your deposit. They say you have that money, and then they take that money and then go invest it in long-term bonds, ETFs, a variety of financial vehicles for investment. So let's say, for example, Bank A has $5 million in deposits. They will usually hold a percentage of that cash in cash. So they'll maybe hold $1 million in hard cash, but they'll take the other $4 million and invest it into stocks, whatever. So how does a bank fail? Now that you know how banks work, very simplified version. So how does a bank fail? People get scared because some of banks' investments aren't doing well. So you'll get one person say, hey, I'm going to take out my money just so I can make sure I get it back. Because legally, you're only insured up to $250,000 in your bank. Anything after that has the potential to be lost. So if you have like $1 million in a bank, and if they go out of business bankrupt, you're only legally obliged, your 250K, the other 750,000 might just be gone with the wind. And that's a legal law. It's called FDIC. So how does a bank fail? That person goes, hey, investments are down. They're investing in weird stuff. I'm going to take out all my money. And then he tells his venture capitalist buddy, hey, I'm taking out my money. Maybe you should. And then he says, hey, I'm taking out my money. Maybe you should. And then he calls five of his rich buddies who invest in other startups. Hey, we're all taking our money. Maybe you should. And then they call 10 of, you get what I'm saying? They call 10 of their homies, and it creates what we call a run on the bank. What happens? Everyone tries to take out their money at once. And remember this previous example. This bank that we're using hypothetically has only $5 million. $1 million is set in cash, but the other $4 million is set in investments. So what happens when you have everyone who has deposits in your bank comes back and says, hey, we want our money back, which is in total of $5 million. And you're like, oh, I only have $1 million. Due to the way some investments are locked up, I'm not liquid in cash and I cannot pay you out right now. And there's where the bank fails because they can't make whole their depositors on the cash they made. That's a very simplified version of it, but that's how it works. A lot of people come back and request their money, and due to the bank having some cash locked away in different financial vehicles and investment vehicles, they can't pay everyone what they want right then and there because the cash is locked up. So that's how a bank fails. And the big one that kind of started the run on the bank was SVB. Bank who banks with a lot of startups, and something that I just had experience with. So yeah, that was a fun time. So let's dive into what's really going on with these bank failures. The Federal Reserve was already under pressure to control inflation, which we just talked about. And we know they're very much trying to control inflation. So the Federal Reserve is already under pressure to control inflation, protect the job market and avoid a recession, and prevent a repeat of multiple scandals involving stock trades by officials, then the banking crisis hit. I'm going to give you a really big expedition dump here, folks. But like I said, the article is in the description and there's a lot here. So I definitely recommend you read it to yourself because I'm only hitting the key points, but there's a lot of good information here. So now the demise of two banks combined with an all-out government mission to stave off wider calamity has put a harsh spotlight on the Fed. Of course, you have two banks failing. People want to know if the bank system is safe. They can keep their money there. Across Washington, lawmakers are asking if tougher oversight by central bank might have kept Silicon Valley Bank, SVB, from failing and spreading contagion deeper into the financial system, Republicans and Democrats both are pressing for more oversight from the Fed itself. And I actually agree with that statement. So due to certain banking laws and certain stress tests that the Federal Reserve or the central bank runs on some of these banks, they're actually excluded to test to a certain degree. What does that mean? Every bank has to go through like a stress test where they have to say, hey, if everyone tries to request their money at once, can the bank financially be able to meet those deposits and give the depositors back their cash to make them whole? Every bank has to go through this. But in America, some banks, due to like legal loopholes and wormholes, don't have to go through an extraneous process. Which one of those banks were? SVB. Due to specifically them working with startups and other factors that are explained in this article, which I definitely recommend you read, and it's very long, they were not held up to the scrutiny that maybe a Bank of America or JP Morgan and Chase would be, which effectively led to them ultimately failing. There's a lot of other banks like this that have done the same thing. So I actually agree with the statement, W Republicans and W Democrats, for wanting to press the central banks for more government regulation when it comes to that. Now, I am a big believer, you guys know, I'm a big believer in capitalism. I get a lot of heat for that, for being SoCal, but I think it is the best of all of our options at the moment. And though it's far from perfect, I don't want government, really government, like, what's it called? Going in and like doing whatever they want to do. But when we're talking about like money and things that can literally bankrupt America, I do think there needs to be heavy, better government regulation so we can avoid situations like this happening again. I definitely think this is something that needs more regulation, even though it's already heavily regulated. So this will never happen again. Continuing on, the whiplash of these past 2 weeks has ratcheted up the political pressure on the central bank, which usually prides itself on independence from elected officials. Well, we just talked about how they're getting really pressed by political people on both sides, so that's not true anymore. Many members of Congress are pinning this month, are pinning the bank's meltdown on the Fed, despite a bipartisan vote, which means both sides voted in 2018 to ease regulations on mid-size institutions like, wait for it, Silicon Valley Bank. And that's what I was talking about. Some mid-sized banks don't have to be as regulated as heavy banks, which is obviously changing now. In continuance, meanwhile, a vacancy for Fed's jobs caused confrontation politically. That's not really important. Raising rates is unpopular, said Adam Posen, president of the Peterson Institution for Eternal Economics. That is a mouthful. But then it should be harder to defend your behavior and your reputation when you have so visibly messed up supervision and regulation failing the American people. There's no two ways about it. Well, Adam Posen, I'd agree with you heavily. So there's a lot more here. I definitely recommend you read this article. There's a lot of good stuff. But the key points are banks are failing because people will start runs on their banks due to other banks not being able to meet depositors. And on top of that, you're already dealing with high inflation and high interest rates, which also hurts banks to a degree. Banks are actually the primary beneficiary of interest rates increasing. But even though banks profit from higher interest rates, the people who make payments to them, so you and me, the people who have loans through them, i.e. you and me, and the people who keep their deposits there is more volatile. So people like you and me can default on our bank statements easier because since we're built on a credit loan system, it's actually incredibly harder to make these payments because interest rates are higher, even though the bank would, for all intents and purposes, be a primary beneficiary. So what can we take away from reading this and knowing banks are failing? I'm definitely not recommending you just take out your money and put it under your bed. Definitely don't do that. And also to acknowledge the other side of this, because I know they're getting a lot of heat, the central bank and the Fed. 73 bank failures have made their depositors whole. We haven't had a situation yet where a bank failed and people were lost all their money outside of their insured 250K, to be completely fair. What can we do with this? Really nothing, at least at this moment. I definitely wouldn't recommend taking money out and putting it under your bed. But with that in mind, be on the watch out for interest rates, was what we just talked about, increasing. And you'll want to ease up on credit card usage if you possibly can, because that will hurt you more in the end than anything. Let's jump to our last article of the day. Are you surprised we're still laying off people? Jumping into our last article of the day, you heard me right. We're still laying people off, even though we're at pretty well, these big companies are at massive profits. Link in the description for this article. Let's talk about it. Some of the world's largest internet companies may have the strongest balance sheets they've ever had, but their employees haven't been able to avoid layoffs. From big companies like Microsoft to SAP, tech companies around the world have laid off thousands of employees since the start of the year and not slowing down. Tech companies that have laid off people have cited a slowdown in growth and that they are hedging against economic uncertainties. Makes sense. We just talked about interest rates being high, banks failing, and how businesses mainly purchase things on credit, which means when interest rates go up, it costs them more money. So we can deduce that, yeah, that makes sense. From the US to Europe and Asia, global tech giants like Microsoft, Google, Amazon, SAP have laid off thousands of employees since the start of the year. That's despite most of these companies being profitable. Headcount reduction is a result of overhiring during the pandemic and a slower growth outlook than originally forecasted, according to a report by the financial services company Jefferies. With interest rates and inflation remaining elevated, consumers are pulling back spending amid uncertainty in the global economy. As a result, companies need to reduce headcount in order to regain operating efficiency with a headcount that matches current demand and trends, said Jefferies. So what does this mean? Companies have been doing good, yes. But due to looking at the forecast for the rest of 2023 with banking crisis, higher interest rates, inflation still being way above the 2% mark, and with overhiring, also combine that with overhiring that happened during the 2020 to 2022 era, a lot of companies overhired, and due to all these other factors, they're unsure of the future, the economic future, and will start slowing down on hiring because that's the easiest way to increase your margins. That's something you learn in business 101. Being that I've graduated and stuff, literally what they tell you is, how do you increase your overhead? How do you increase your margins, make them better? You fire your human resources. And by human resources, I mean people, not like the HR department. Your workers, your people. That's the quickest way to improve all around. Unfortunately, of course, there's other things, but when it comes down to it, that's one of the fastest ways you can improve operating efficiency is letting some of your workforce go. Here's some little stats here that I have. So Microsoft posted, with this stuff in mind, let's talk about what's going on. So Microsoft posted a net profit of $16.4 billion for the quarter ended in December 31st last year. It's also down 8% from a year ago. Isn't that crazy? $16.4 billion profit and you're still down 8%. Its cloud business drove results, with Microsoft Cloud revenue at $27 billion, which is up 22%. But despite that, Microsoft announced in January that's laying off 10,000 workers as it braces for slower growth. Google announced in January it'll be cutting off 12,000 workers. The company's missed on earnings and revenue in the fourth quarter, but managed to eke out a 1% year-over-year gain last year. Amazon laid off more than 18,000 people and is set to let go of 9,000 more workers in the coming weeks. That's despite posting an impressive revenue in the fourth quarter of 2022, beating estimates. Also, the company reportedly delayed bonuses. Oh, that's Apple. My bad. So that's Amazon. So Apple has delayed bonuses for some of its employees and limited hiring in March. Apple also let go of its contract staff in August, according to Bloomberg. The iPhone maker missed expectations for revenue, profit, and sales in several lines of business for the first quarter of 2023. Also, CEO Tim Cook blamed this strong downtrend on a strong dollar, production disruptions, which, to be fair to him, there is a lot of supply chain issues, to be fair, in China, and macro headwinds. Apple is set to expect at least 10,000 people off in the next 3 months. We have these big companies, massive profits, doing great things, but due to the uncertainty of the future, they have to prepare for the worst outcome and hopefully be wrong. I mean, you're thinking there's some, unfortunately for all these people getting laid off, there's so much more people employed. People who run these businesses obviously have to look out for the business, how to best run it, but also how do we keep this business alive for the people that are still operating here? Try to look at it both ways. We don't want to just zero on away. So that's interesting. And what do we really take of this? No one like your bigger brother or a bigger friend or a bigger sibling or family member did something as a kid and you wanted to follow suit and do it because they did it, because obviously they have this experience, they're super cool, et cetera, blah, blah. Same thing happens in business. So when you have big companies like Microsoft, Apple, Amazon, and Google start layoffs, the little brothers, the little sisters of the business world, the smaller companies will follow suit, because if they're preparing and they have all this cash on hand, smaller companies who don't have those resources as of yet also need to prepare if these. So it's just this kind of monkey see, monkey do effect that goes on, which we just talked about in the banking sector. And the same thing happens also with these big companies. So if you're employed in these companies, I hope that you're safe. I hope that you don't get let go. But this is a big market. And to leave this on a positive note, this is definitely the employees' job market right now. You have more of the leverage than these companies do. They want you. So keep that in mind if you or someone you love or know is on the receiving end of this. We're going to get through it. And this is an employees market. So what did we talk about today? We talked about interest rates again increasing for 9 months in a row, 9 times in a row, and how inflation is still well above the 2% mark, currently sitting at 6.5%. We talked about how does a bank fail, why does a bank fail, what it looks like, and how the money managers of America, the Fed, are trying to combat it and the political pressure they get for combating against certain pressures. And we also talked about, even though these huge multi-billion dollar companies are posting massive profits, they're still doing mass layoffs because the economic future does not look good. I hope you guys take something good away from this, even if it's just one thing. The whole point of this show is to educate us, learn what's going on, that we can use those skills for our own, to protect our family, to protect our finances, and to be the best person we can be financially. I've always said this, I will continue to say this in Ficonomy, but if you live in America and like you're here, it is a privilege to be ignorant with your money in America, because we've had, even though bad things have happened in conjunction to the rest of the world, our currency has been relatively incredibly stable. Unlike some of these other countries where literally they would rather do business with the US dollar than their own native currency. With that in mind, it is a privilege to be ignorant with money in America. And just because it's a privilege doesn't mean we have to take that offer up. Let's educate ourselves. Let's be better. Let's know what's going on. We don't have to be better overnight. We just have to do it one day, one podcast episode, one Ficonomy at a time. That's all we got to do. If you guys get anything of this, please share on your Instagram, Twitter, at Kyle the Horton. Tag me in it. I'll love you forever. Review the podcast down below. I'll love you for even ever more. And if you want to continue this conversation with me, please feel free to DM me, text me, whatever. And if you've made it so far in this video, text me, DM me, whatever, bank failure. And I will cheer for you. I'll sing for you, whatever. I hope you guys have a great day. Enjoy the rest of this time. You are loved, blessed, highly favored, and I'll see you next time on Kyle Talks. Peace.